Broadcasting from the Hip Hop Weekly Studios, I'd like to welcome you to another episode of Civic Cypher, where our mission is to foster allyship, empathy, and understanding. I am your host, Ramses Ja. Big shout out to my man, Q Ward, who is out of town. He had to take care of some family business, but he will tell you all about it when he comes back. But have no fear, because it is business as usual around here. Today, we will be discussing some very important topics for Women's History Month with a very important person. She goes by the name of Debbie Esparza, and she is the CEO of YWCA Metropolitan Phoenix. And she's also the first gay brown boomer CEO at the YWCA. And we have so much to talk about, because I know that women's history is mission critical, and Women's History Month gives us a lens into how important the contributions women have made to this country are, but also it gives us a chance to wrestle with some of the obstacles that are unique to women and some of the blind spots that people like myself, people like Q, cannot know. We can never know those blind spots, and hopefully it will allow us and our listeners to become better allies. So I'd like to thank you again, Debbie Esparza, for making some time to come on to the show.
Hey, well, thank you so much. This is incredible. Thank you, Ramses, for asking me. I'm thrilled.
Absolutely.
And you're asking me to talk about a couple things I know about. And, you know, YWCA, our mission's all about eliminating racism and empowering women. So, you know, I know a little bit.
All right. So we are definitely going to delve into this conversation. I know there's a few questions that I definitely want to ask you to share with our listeners. But before we get there, like we always do at this time, let's start the show off with some Ebony Excellence. So today's Ebony Excellence, which is sponsored by Major Threads for innovative, fashionable sportswear. Check majorthreads.com. It's coming from Afrotech. And here's what I got for you. Mike Tyson is looking to serve and empower the youth in Phoenix, Arizona with his new school. The heavyweight champion and entrepreneur has joined Foundation Academy School System and President Daniel Tudor to open Tyson Transformational Technologies Academy for 6th to 12th graders, according to a press release. The Phoenix-based Cognia-accredited micro school is set to focus on financial literacy, innovation, mentorship, civic leadership, accountability, and community engagement. Additionally, it's described as a trailblazer in education that is committed to serving the diverse needs of middle and high school students. Quote, "It is important to me that I am able to share my life experiences to inspire the next generation," unquote. Tyson shared, according to the press release. "This new educational institution will build core values that I am honored and grateful to be a part of the Arizona community. I was thrilled to be part of the ribbon cutting ceremony and meeting some of the students." So around here, we absolutely value education, and we value anybody who is taking their celebrity and their finances and reinvesting them into the community and showing another side of what it means to be a Black athlete, or, you know, a Black leader. Because a lot of times, you know, for Black folks, our more visible heroes do things that aren't necessarily speaking intellectual. So anytime we can show that side of ourselves and invest in that side of who we are and that side of our humanity, indeed, we applaud that around here. So Mike Tyson, Ebony Excellence this week is for you. Now, back to the lecture at hand. Debbie Esparza, do me a favor.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm hoping that this will be a long-standing relationship that we will develop between Civic Cypher and the YWCA. So let's make a proper introduction. So you would be, and you're in a better position to do that than me. So tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and kind of what led you to your position as the CEO of YWCA.
Thank you for that, because it's a long road, but it's so clear now that I look back on it. This is about my sixth career, but the reality is everything I've done in the past has had to do with systems that I didn't think worked.
Okay.
And barriers that often I bumped up against as a young brown woman climbing corporate ladders and things like that. And then in my late 30s, I was introduced to the YWCA. And my vision, my ability to see the world through the lens of race and gender was, I can't not see that now. So everything I see, you know, I look at through those lenses of race and gender. But I have a background in banking and academics. I had a consulting firm for a while. I worked for the Girl Scouts for a long time, and I've been in this chair for the YWCA for 5 years now. And it's really full circle because I'm now also on the national board of the YWCA. So this has really just been who I am for so, so long. And I'm just thrilled that I actually, this is a job. Like, I can't believe this is a job, right? So I'm thrilled that, that I found this role. And that it has accepted me as all those intersections that you mentioned earlier, the brown gay boomer, showing up just as who I am. And I think for the first time in all those careers, I can show up completely authentically in this role.
And that's something that, I want to get into, you know, women showing up authentically. Obviously I cannot speak to that, hence my desire to develop this partnership. So as I mentioned in the opening of the show, this is Women's History Month. And another way of saying that is Women's Empowerment Month. So talk a little bit to our listeners, you know, for folks that might not be familiar with this being Women's History Month, what that means and maybe what people should be doing specifically in the month of March to help really live in March and really take advantage of the meaning and the premise of that month.
Yeah, I appreciate that question. And I'm often heard saying things like, you know, again, we're just wrapping up Black History Month, and now we have Women's History Month. We'll have Latino History Month. The reality is we're here all year long, all of us. And so 1 month at a time is a good way to shine the light on the cool things that we're all doing. But part of what I want to remind everyone is that it's not just this month that we need to celebrate women or our all the people that are making our community thrive. But one of the things that we'll do, and the reason we call it Women's Empowerment Month and not just Women's History Month, is women's history often looks backwards, and we want to be present and really focus on a kind of a multi-generational space of raising up women. And then we want to look in the future to see what we need to do next. I'm often heard saying I do this work partly for four generations of Esparza women, right? My mom, who's 85, I'm 60-something, my 33-year-old niece, and my 6-year-old niece. And so I am always thinking about all the worlds that those women are in as I look at Women's Empowerment Month. And some of the easiest things people can do are go to women-owned restaurants and women-owned businesses and spend your money locally with folks that are improving your community and producing goods and services that help you thrive and help you live. I think also it's a place to really do some awareness on who has been in your community. I loved earlier your Ebony section with Mike Tyson and STEM and STEAM. Like, check out the women in STEM, right, who have made this remarkable discoveries and inventions, right? Women have done so many creative things since the beginning of time. Right? And you know, not only an old commercial, bring home the bacon and fry it up in the pan, but we're doing so many things as women in the workforce and women in our families, and the different aspects of caregiving and connection and giving back to community, as well as, you know, being very professional and thoughtful and influential women in the corporate space.
Sure. You know, one of the things that is interesting around here, around, you know, my part of the world, I have two sons. I do my best to explain to, especially my older son, who's 18, that life is female and society has really been shaped by males for the benefit of males, right? So that males have a lot more in the way of access and a lot more in the way of opportunities. You mentioned STEM and STEAM. If we were to look at the numbers, you see that males are overrepresented in those disciplines. And those are the disciplines that are really shaping the future actively, right? And so one of the things that I have informed and empowered my sons to do is to use what it is that they have been given in their male bodies, things like testosterone, muscle strength, you know, this sort of thing. Use that access to keep other men in check if women need them. This is for protection, right? The strength and that sort of thing. And to also create opportunities to bring women along, people who might have been overlooked, and to be mindful of the fact that you also are going to have these blind spots, right? And this is not just because my mother is a woman. This is not just because this person is a woman or that person, but this is because this is right. Morally, this is right, right? And, you know, one of the ways that I kind of illustrated this is that, you know, I pointed to both of my sons and it was like, you guys have nipples. I mean, that means that once upon a time you were female, you know what I mean? And this is kind of how this is how life works, right? Mm-hmm. So understanding that helps you to understand your relative place, biologically speaking, and support bringing about equity in your relationships moving forward by using what advantages you have to provide some perhaps access to other folks. And so I wanted to make sure that I stated that. Now, that conversation goes to those two boys. Obviously, the work that you do goes a lot further. I want to talk about some of the issues that are specific to women that maybe, remember I mentioned those blind spots that my son may have. I certainly know that I have them. I learned so much during the Me Too movement. I thought, historically, I was a good man. I don't think I'm not a good man, but I learned that I could be better. And the way my heart beats, I try to always be better, right? And I learned what blind spots I had, right? So again, let's talk about some blind spots. I want you to discuss maybe some of the issues relative to housing, healthcare, employment, you know, you name it, how these things might affect women differently than a person like me would be aware of, right? So go ahead.
Well, where I'm going to start is really how clear the pay inequity still is. Mm-hmm. Women make pennies on the dollar to men, and it varies by ethnicity as well. Mm-hmm. Latina women don't make that same dollar until about October. You know, Asian women make that same dollar in about March. Black women somewhere in the middle, and white women somewhere in the middle, right? So just out the gate, even in employment, we make less money than men. And I'm going to say in general, but not even just in general, in specificity. And that impacts us in a number of ways, because that means we can't save as much money for retirement. And it means that we can't qualify for as much house or, you know, provide a quality of living for our family, because we make, you know, 67, 82 cents per dollar, right? And so that's already impacted what the woman has to bear, because it's usually the woman's place to make sure that there is housing and food and shelter and the educational opportunities for the family. She often holds more of that. That's a gross generalization, but c- because I know plenty of men who are active in their families, you know.
But they'll have their day.
Yeah. But the pay gap is still very, very real.
Sure.
And one of the things that we've done, like I've really made a focus on at our YWCA to impact our salary scales so that we are more competitive and that we are, you know, being fairer I have a predominantly female workforce, but I have several good men working for us as well, but the men don't make more than the women.
Okay.
Right. So that's kind of philosophical for us. Other aspects, you know, of housing, you know, just what you can qualify for and, you know, right now there's a key thing right now that's impacting more families and women, just even the child care tax credit, being aware of that and the child care costs that oftentimes women bear. That's all such an incredible impact on a woman's opportunity to really get that financial empowerment.
Sure. One of the things that, and I know that we can get to healthcare and we can get to the other elements later, but while we're here, one of the things that, I found is present in terms of Black people's pursuit of restorative economic justice is just how important economic justice is and just how far the ripple effects go. And so, as you were mentioning, the examples, I started to think, you know, a woman who, you know, we're supposed to all be equal theoretically and have equal access to the American dream and so forth. And this is something that a lot of people, particularly those on the right and the far right, certainly feel is true because their reality reflects that. They have not come to terms with the fact that they may have blind spots, you know, if I'm painting with broad strokes. Mm-hmm. But when we look at things like how much money do I make? Then we look at, okay, how does that impact the type of credit that I'm able to have or my capacity to withstand an unexpected medical expense or, you know, repair or something like that? And how does that affect what type of housing I can qualify for and how and the terms, right? And of course, all of these things are connected because if you lose your house, or you lose your car, your access to employment is compromised, right? And so it's very easy to get caught in this cycle and find yourself kind of further relegated to the margins of society and forgotten about, right? And so I say this not to discuss what it means to be Black or what it means to be a woman, but I say this to discuss how important financial implications are and how access to money and wealth and being able to transfer wealth to your family, how those things have historically empowered white people, white families, and how often enough white folks that look at Black people and say, well, you can do the same thing, are ignoring the data. And the data supports the fact that this is happening predominantly with white people and the transferring of wealth, and it is not happening elsewhere in this country. And so your thoughts, please.
You're absolutely right. It's not happening in the same way. But what came to mind when you were speaking is it's not that far back in our history where women weren't even allowed to have their own credit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, my dad had to sign the credit card or the mortgage or whatever, sure. Right?
Yeah.
And quite honestly, my mom was the breadwinner and she handled the money. Mm-hmm. But you know, it was dad's signature they wanted. And so that's not too far back in history that women didn't even have that opportunity. Right. And so as women move, you know, yay, we can have credit cards now and our own mortgages, which is fabulous. But again, I remember in my lifetime, it was not like that.
Yeah.
But I'm going to stop there.
I've
lived that in a way that,
I'd like to add to that if I can. And also, you know, there's a legacy there too. Yeah. There's the legacy effects of those types of things. We talk about the legacy of course, slavery, the legacy of Jim Crow, the legacy of the Black Codes, the legacy of redlining, legacy of the war on drugs, the legacy of, you know, all these things that have happened throughout history, right? Segregation, you know, the list goes on. And the legacy of, you know, this predicament that you just described, there's something that, again, blind spots, you know, I keep coming back to that, but I think that it's worth mentioning over and over again, because those people who are in power may not be aware of the amount of harm that has been done. And, you know, to piggyback on your example, Dr. Camilla Westenberg, who is, I call her my teacher because she is my teacher, and praise will never get higher than that around here. And she's a mutual friend of ours. She came on this show and told us a very similar story. She said, I could not open a bank account without my husband's signature. So she is a real live human being still drawing breath on this planet that lived through that. And I had a conversation recently with another very important Black man in my life who suggested something to me that I know is true, and I'm sure that you can appreciate this as well. He said that a lot of times Black people and women, shout out Tony Coles, I want to make sure I say his name. He said, you know, Black people, women, so forth, they will accept less than what they deserve so that they can get a foot in the door. But by accepting less than what they deserve, it sets them up for a life of always kind of bringing up the rear in terms of, you know, how they are compensated and what opportunities make their way to them. And so the amount of respect, the amount of prestige, the amount of affluence, and the amount of access throughout the different rungs of a societal ladder, I think that all of that can be traced back to how important financial implications are. And I know that we're short on time here, and I definitely wanted to talk about, you know, how the healthcare system disproportionately affects, you know, women's access to, you know, like we talked about STEM briefly, more in the way of women doctors for women, and so forth and so on. But man, there's so much to cover.
There is so much. And, you know, I think even in the healthcare, you know, doctors still make assumptions about women's ability to manage pain, to, are they really telling you that it really hurts?
C-sections are disproportionate for Black and brown women, and they're money makers.
Mortality rate disproportionate for Black women.
Absolutely.
It's incredible.
Yeah. So, well, I know that we have a lot more to talk about, and I definitely want to touch on a few more topics, but